everybody. Welcome back. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the emotional world of the prophet Jeremiah.
Really fascinating stuff.
And I think you're going to be surprised by what we find. Now we're working with excerpts from a lecture series by Dr. Gary Yates.
Wonderful scholar.
Yeah, he really gets into the nitty-gritty of Jeremiah's prayers. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, some of these sound more like arguments with God than, you know, your typical Sunday school prayer.
Yeah, a lot of people think of prophets as these, you know, kind of superhuman figures.
Right.
But Jeremiah's prayer shows a very different side of him.
Yeah.
Very human. And Dr. Yates calls these prayers laments.
Laments. Okay.
And you find them scattered throughout chapters 11, 20 of the book of Jeremiah.
Now, when I think about the word lament, I usually associate that with, you know, sadness or grief.
That's right.
But Dr. Yates points out that these laments aren't just about sadness.
No, they're about a whole range of emotions. Anger, doubt, even despair.
Hmm. Now, there's this quote from J. Andrew Dierman that Dr. Yates uses in his lectures that I thought was really powerful.
Oh, yeah.
He says, zeal for discipleship is no guarantee of smooth sailing in life.
Oof, that's a good one.
Right. It really challenges the idea that if we're following God, everything should be easy peasy.
Exactly. Life throws curveballs no matter how devoted we are.
And Jeremiah's life is a perfect example of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy went through some serious trials.
And his laments show us that it's okay to wrestle with those tough emotions.
Absolutely. In fact, hiding those feelings can actually be more harmful than expressing them.
So let's get into some specific examples of Jeremiah's laments. In chapter 15, verses 10 to 18, he cries out, woe is me, a man of strife and contention to the whole land.
Man, that's raw.
He's feeling totally isolated, like everyone's against him.
And then he goes on to ask, why is my pain unceasing? Is my wound incurable, refusing to be healed?
He's in deep despair, like he just doesn't see any way out.
Right. And then he compares God to a deceitful brook.
A deceitful brook? What does that even mean?
Well, brook is supposed to be a source of water, right? But a deceitful brook is one that's dried up.
It promises life, but it delivers nothing.
So Jeremiah is feeling like God has let him down.
Exactly. Like the very source he should be able to rely on has failed him.
There's another lament in chapter 18 where Jeremiah actually asks God to punish his enemies and their families.
Yeah, that one can be a bit tough to swallow for modern readers.
Yeah, it makes us uncomfortable.
But remember, we can't judge ancient texts solely through a modern lens.
Right.
It's more about understanding the intensity of Jeremiah's feelings.
He's just pouring out his pain, his sense of injustice, without holding back.
Exactly. This brings us to a key idea, the theology of bold prayer.
Okay, so what exactly does that mean, theology of bold prayer?
Well, it's not about being disrespectful to God.
Right.
But it is about being real, about bringing our whole selves to the table.
So it's okay to be honest with God even when we're angry or frustrated.
Absolutely. Throughout the Old Testament, we see figures like Abraham, Moses, Habakkuk.
Oh, yeah.
Engaging in these really raw, honest dialogues with God.
Mm.
It's not about demanding that God change his mind.
Yeah.
But it's about wrestling with those tough questions. Seeking understanding.
So it's more like trying to understand God's perspective even when we're struggling.
Exactly.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
And this is where the Psalms become so important, right?
Absolutely. Because the Psalms are full of laments.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Yates points out that lament is actually the most common type of psalm.
Think about that. The ancient Israelites weren't just praising God all the time.
Right.
They were pouring out their grief, their anger, even accusing God of wrongdoing.
Like in Psalm 44.
Yeah.
Where the people accuse God of breaking his covenant and abandoning them in battle.
They're saying, God, you promised to be with us and now we're suffering.
That's pretty bold language.
It is. But it reveals a deep, intimate relationship with God.
And then there's Job.
Oh, yeah. Job's a classic example.
He goes through all this unimaginable suffering.
Yeah,
and he doesn't shy away from questioning God's justice.
Job's story is a masterclass in how to engage with God in the midst of pain.
It shows us that we can be honest with God even when we're angry, hurt, confused.
All of this leads us to perhaps Jeremiah's most shocking statement.
Oh, boy.
O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived.
Wow. Where does that come from?
That's from Jeremiah 20.7.
Okay.
And it's a gut punch, right?
Yeah.
The Hebrew word for deceived is actually very strong.
Okay.
It's often used in contexts of seduction or entrapment.
So Jeremiah's feeling like God lured him into a trap and now he's suffering the consequences.
Exactly. It's a raw, vulnerable statement that reveals just how deeply Jeremiah is struggling.
And what makes it even more striking is that he immediately follows it up with, you are stronger than I, and you have prevailed.
Right.
So he's acknowledging God's power even as he's questioning his actions.
Exactly. And that's a really important distinction to make.
Yeah, I think that's a really important distinction to make.
It's okay to have those feelings.
Right.
But it's also important to acknowledge that God is ultimately in control.
So are we supposed to just unleash all our anger and accusations at God like Jeremiah did?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
Remember, Jeremiah's prayers aren't bad or wrong.
Right.
They're simply honest.
Okay.
They teach us to bring our whole selves to God.
The doubts, the anger, the pain.
Everything.
And to trust that he can handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty incredible that Jeremiah talks to God with this level of intimacy.
It is.
Like he's talking to a close friend.
Right.
He knows God can handle his raw emotions.
Exactly. And that's a powerful lesson for us.
God wants us to be real with him.
Yes.
Not just put on a facade.
This is making me rethink my own prayer life for sure.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Jeremiah wasn't the only one who prayed like this, right?
Oh, absolutely not. We see echoes of these raw, honest prayers throughout Scripture.
Okay.
But we'll get to that in just a moment.
So where else do we see this kind of raw honesty in the Bible, this willingness to really wrestle with God?
Well, one of the most powerful examples actually comes from Jesus himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about his cry from the cross. My God. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
That's a direct quote from Psalm 22.
Wow, I never realized that.
Which is a psalm of lament.
So even Jesus, in his moment of deepest agony, expressed this raw human emotion of feeling abandoned by God.
Exactly. And it's not just a random quote.
Right.
Jesus is intentionally connecting his experience to this ancient tradition of lament.
Mm-hmm.
Showing us that it's okay, even natural, to cry out to God in our pain.
That's really powerful. It makes me wonder, does Jesus's lament somehow change our understanding of suffering?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think it definitely challenges the idea that suffering is always a punishment or a sign that we're out of God's favor.
Right.
Even Jesus, the Son of God, experienced the depths of human pain.
Yeah.
And cried out to God in that pain.
It's more about acknowledging that suffering is a part of the human experience, and it's okay to bring those feelings to God.
Precisely.
Okay.
And Dr. Yates points out some other interesting parallels between Jeremiah's laments and other parts of Scripture.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
So, for instance, both Jeremiah and Job cursed the day they were born.
Yeah. I can imagine feeling that way in the midst of intense suffering.
Right. It's like wishing you'd never existed.
Yeah.
The powerful expression of their pain and despair.
Hmm. But it also raises a question for us.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile these seemingly negative emotions with faith?
That is a tough one.
Is it ever okay to feel that level of despair when you believe in a loving God?
Well, I think the key is to remember that God can handle our raw emotions.
Right.
He doesn't expect us to be happy and cheerful all the time.
Yeah.
He wants us to be real with him, even when it's messy.
That makes sense. Dr. Yates also mentions the theme of praying for God's judgment on one's enemies.
Oh, yeah. We see that in Jeremiah, in some of the Psalms, and even in Revelation.
It can be uncomfortable to read those passages.
It can, but it's important to remember the historical context.
Hmm.
These weren't just personal vendettas. They were cries for justice in a world filled with violence and oppression.
Right.
They were expressing a deep longing for God to intervene and set things right.
So it's less about revenge and more about a longing for God's justice to prevail.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we see another common thread in Jeremiah and other parts of Scripture.
Yeah, what's that?
The age-old question of why the wicked prosper while the righteous suffer.
Oh, yeah. That's a question I think we all wrestle with at some point.
Right. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why does it seem like evil often triumphs?
It's a question that has haunted humanity for centuries.
We see it in Psalm 73, in the book of Job.
Yeah.
And even in our own lives today.
It can be really hard to reconcile those experiences with our faith.
Absolutely. Right. Especially when we feel like we're doing everything right.
Right.
And I think that's where Jeremiah's example can be so powerful.
How so?
He shows us that it's okay to wrestle with those questions, to bring our doubts and our anger to God.
Yeah.
In fact, it's in those raw, honest conversations that our faith can actually deepen.
So instead of trying to suppress those difficult feelings, we should embrace them as part of the journey.
Exactly, because it's in those messy, uncomfortable places that we often discover a deeper understanding of God and ourselves.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation.
I'm glad to hear that.
I feel like I have a whole new perspective on prayer and on what it means to have a real relationship with God.
And I think that's the real takeaway from Jeremiah's laments.
What is it?
They challenge us to move beyond a superficial, sanitized version of faith.
Okay.
And to embrace the messy, honest reality of wrestling with God.
It's like he's giving us permission to bring our whole selves to God.
Exactly. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Because God can handle it.
He can. In fact, he welcomes it.
So what's the next step for our listeners who want to explore this idea of bold prayer further? Where do we go from here?
Well, I would encourage you to dive into Jeremiah chapters 11 through 20.
Okay.
And experience these laments for yourself. Don't just read them, but really sit with them. Wrestle with them. See which ones resonate with you, which ones challenge you, which ones make you uncomfortable.
It's like an invitation to have a real, honest conversation with God.
Exactly. No holds barred.
And who knows? You might just discover a new level of intimacy and authenticity in your own prayer life. You know, it's really striking how Jeremiah's prayers just kind of fly in the face of what we're often taught about prayer.
Yeah, it's not about being polite or, you know, perfectly composed.
Like just listing off our requests and then saying amen.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about being real with God.
Yeah.
Letting him see our doubts, our anger, our pain.
And I think what's really striking is that Jeremiah doesn't hold back.
No, he lays it all out there.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah, he really models what it means to be completely transparent with God.
Do you think that's something that we should all strive for in our own prayer lives? That kind of transparency?
Absolutely. God already knows our hearts, right?
Yeah.
He sees our doubts and struggles even when we try to hide them. So why not just be up front with him? Mm-hmm. Why not say, God, I'm struggling with this. I'm angry about this. I don't understand this.
That honesty is what allows for true connection, I think.
It is. It really is. And I think it's almost like those raw, honest prayers are a form of surrender.
Oh, yeah.
We're letting go of our need to have all the answers.
Right.
And admitting that we need God's help.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful way to put it.
It's in those moments of surrender, of vulnerability,
yeah,
that we're most open to God's grace and guidance.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Jeremiah's bold prayers, what's one key takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with?
I think the most important takeaway is this.
Yeah.
It's okay to be real with God. Mm-hmm. It's okay to bring your doubts, mm-hmm, your anger, your pain, your questions.
Because he can handle it.
He can handle it. Right. He welcomes it, in fact.
And in that raw honesty and that vulnerability,
yeah,
we can actually find healing and growth and a deeper connection with God.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So to leave our listeners with something to ponder,
yeah,
what's one area of your life where you've been holding back from being truly honest with God?
What's that one thing you've been afraid to bring to him, to wrestle with, to question?
Because as we've seen from Jeremiah's example, those difficult conversations,
yeah,
can actually be the most transformative.
They can be.
They can lead us to a deeper understanding of God's love and a more authentic experience of faith.
So I would encourage you to take a page from Jeremiah's book.
Yeah.
Dive into those raw, honest prayers in chapters 11, 20. And see how they resonate with your own heart.
Yeah. And who knows? You might be surprised by what you discover.
You really might.
Well, that's all the time we had for today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the emotional world of Jeremiah.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope it's encouraged you to embrace the power of bold prayer in your own life.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you next time for another adventure in knowledge and insight.